turn around and leave, and the group of you walk towards the church. As you approach it, there's a kind of a fence that's around the perimeter, and you kind of kneel down behind it, and you realize that there are no windows on the building. Near the building is a small campfire with some wooden benches near it and a torch. There's also that big banner that you saw near the door. Around the building is a small garden with herbs and flowers and vegetables, and you also notice a large invasive brown mushroom here and there in the garden and around it. And of course, there's also other forest foliage and trees, bushes, animals. It's in a forest, so there's forest stuff. And Raymond says, "All right, first things first is
getting... I'm a realist.
Oh.
Drop this and let the whole world feel it."
I hate that song. This is not in character. That is like one of my least favorite songs, maybe ever.
I told you not to recite the incantations of that bard.
They're just, it's just so good. It's so catchy.
First things first, we've got to get inside that building. Our lady Tess seemed to give us some good info that it's probably tough to crack and there's no one else in there.
So it's locked and the only person in there is proprietor?
That's what she said, isn't it?
I hold up my Python and I say we scale the wall.
Now, I've got a better plan. James, that would be a foolish idea. You know that we have to get in there quietly, yet lest we lose the element of surprise.
We can just go around the backside.
I can
Yeah, shut up. I have a plan here.
Yeah, I do too. I can walk through the wall and just unlock the door from the inside.
Do you still have that?
Yeah. 2 charges per day.
I thought you didn't have that anymore.
I thought I kept it.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, he's got it.
Okay, whatever.
Broken.
Trust me, Alex. He's got it.
Puzzle thoroughly broken.
Do I wish he didn't have it? Absolutely.
Okay. Raymond says, "And now is the chance for me to sit back and let y'all prove yourselves." And he kind of like puts his hands behind his head as though he's relaxing and say, "I trust that you guys can get in this door."
All right.
And that's code for Raymond's not going to help you solve this puzzle.
All right.
Carrie, you're in charge now.
She was in charge from the get-go, brother.
Hey, Carrie, if you're in charge, do I have permission to literally just walk through the wall and unlock the door for us?
Sure.
Cool. I'm going to go do that.
Okay. As you grab the stone and walk into the wall, you manage to like very slightly like get into the wood of the building. And then you feel some like weird kind of like barrier, kind of like elastic sort of feeling as you try and walk further. And it stops you from walking all the way through. And you, are on the outside still. It's almost as if you walked, were able to walk through the wood of the outside door, but there was something else keeping you from getting inside.
What does this look like from our perspective? Like, is he like part of the way out of the wall and just like kind of bouncing back and forth? Or
I think it would be. It kind of just looks like because like it's a thin wall, right? It's not like a deep hole that he's walking through. I imagine it would kind of look like as if he was sort of like pushing like an elastic barrier forward a little bit.
I see this and I lean over to Carrie and I'm like, I'm going to go push him. And I jump over the fence and I run full steam at him and push him to try and get him through the wall.
The elastic sensation kind of gives a little bit more, but then it recoils back and you two fall backwards.
You're seeing this, right?
Like, get
this
off me.
This place is magic as shit, guys. Just a heads up.
I hold up my button again, and I say, "That's why we climb."
Man, we're gonna need more than one of those.
All right, fine. I walk over the door and I try to pick the lock.
Did that take one of my 2 charges?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gosh dang it.
When you go to try and pick the lock, you notice that there is no traditional doorknob or lock mechanism. It's basically just a like a door that doesn't have a doorknob.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a perception check.
I call back to Carrie and I'm like, good news, bad news, Carrie. Good news, no lock to pick. Bad news, no lock to pick.
Are you gonna investigate that
or like investigation on the door or whatever role that would be?
I'm gonna see if James would follow that up with any of that first, and then we'll resolve yours since he's right there.
Okay.
Are you gonna investigate further, James?
Yeah, I just wanna I wanna try to figure out like where are the hinges on this wall. Like I imagine what's happening is either this is my first thought is probably that there's like a wood, like a piece of wood on the other side that like has closed it shut. It's probably not magical in nature, you know, like that's my first instinct.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out like where are the gaps in this that I might be able to like see inside and kind of figure out what's happening on this door.
Okay. So you're kind of like investigating the front of the door.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to roll like an investigation check?
Let's roll. Let's see. That is a 13 plus my intelligence. 14.
Okay. As you're investigating the front of the door, it's pretty hard to miss. You see carved in the corner of the door, written out in the carving, it says present offering of purification. But you don't find any like openings or mechanisms or anything like that.
Hey, Dash, come here.
All right. I go there.
I push Dash kind of close to the door and I whisper to the door, my offering. And then I back up and put my hands up.
What are you talking about?
Nothing happens.
What was that?
I should have known better than to trust a turn to be pure.
What are you talking about right now?
I got to point to the inscription.
Oh.
It says,
that's fun.
Present offering of purification.
I try the necklace that the church member was interested in.
What do you do with it?
I don't know. I think I just kind of like push, like kind of bonk the necklace, like push it into that part of the door. I don't know. It's not like if there's like a slot, like trying to treat.
Yeah, there's no slot, but
it's like pushing the necklace onto that part of the door. Like,
yeah, nothing happens.
Well, that's right. The shot.
Try throwing it out the door.
No, I'm sure that wouldn't.
Did it work? Did you want to do an investigation check too?
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that now that that didn't work. And that's a 6.
With it's that, you see the inscription that you saw earlier, and you notice that the door doesn't really have any handles or latches.
Cool, man.
I walk up to the door and I try to slide the door open. Like maybe I thought this whole time it was a push door or a pull door, but really it's just like a pocket door and I try to slide it.
You get the sense that maybe it could slide, but that there's something keeping it from doing so.
Okay.
At this point, Raymond gets up from where he was standing or sitting and goes and sits on one of the benches by the campfire, kind of plays around with one of the torches down there and says, man, this taking you guys this long? I'm ready to get in there, get some action going.
I approach finally.
Okay.
Watching these two idiots kind of bumble around.
Hey.
And I would like to do a little investigation. I rolled a 19.
Whoa.
All right. With that, you see the same inscription that they were referencing, and also in the like the overhang of the archway of the door, as you're looking around, you see a small, very cleanly bored out hole in the top of it that lines up pretty directly with the present offering of purification. And with a roll that good too, you even see on like scarring the wood around that hole, what looks like some burn marks or some damage from smoke.
Hmm.
Hey, Raymond, can I have one of those torches real quick?
Knock yourself out. He tosses it to you. Make a athletics check to see if you catch it.
He's through a torch.
No,
it's not lit. It's not lit. It's like an unlit torch.
Oh. I thought it was lit too. I was like, oh my gosh.
I only got a 7, so I probably don't catch it. Wait, did you say an athletics?
I guess it would be dexterity.
Dang it, I'm good at athletics. That's, yeah, 7 then.
It hits you in the shin and it hurts kind of bad.
All right. I pick it up off the ground then.
Okay.
Hey, so how, I mean, it looks like that was burned somehow, right? Like,
yeah, probably with fire.
Yeah, thanks. Do we have any way of light? Is the campfire lit?
There's like some embers in it. If you wanted to, you could probably light the torch.
Okay, I'm going to then walk back over to where he was sitting and light the torch.
Okay.
Hey, I probably should have thought about this earlier. Sorry about that. I light the torch and I come back.
Okay. I think you can do that. It's just a torch and a fire pit.
Yeah.
And I don't want to light the whole place on fire and spend another 2 hours.
Could be fun, though.
I really don't want to have another fire situation like that.
It'd be a real humanizing moment for Dash where he realizes how easy it is to set the whole place on fire, you know?
Yeah. Does it look like the torch like fits in that slot or anything?
No, the slot would be too small.
Cool. Hey, all right. So I don't exactly now know what to do from here, but I got us some fire.
You could smoke them out.
Do you guys remember that silver back there? Maybe we should go buy the silver and try to melt it.
That seems horribly convoluted to get to a building.
But they're trying. It's, oh yeah, okay. No, actually, I got nothing on that. You're right. That was dumb.
I mean, I really don't just want to stick a fire on a wooden building, but
we are trying to kill someone.
I take the torch.
At this point, you notice somebody else walking in your direction who is just like, they're not in church clothes or like robes or anything. It's just a normal looking dude in kind of normal clothing for somebody who is low income. And he's walking your way and he has an armful or a bag full, rather, of those brown mushrooms. And he says, hey, are y'all folks with the church?
We're trying to be. We're trying to be with the church.
100%.
We just can't seem to figure out the whole, you know, the thing with the thing.
Oh, you don't get in. You're one of them. They hired you too, right? You're the next shift.
Yeah.
We definitely go in.
Yeah.
No, don't. That's a common misconception. You don't actually have to go in with them. You just leave them out here. And he leaves the bag of mushrooms like near where you guys are standing. And he says, y'all are going to deal with the ones around here, right? I know how much they hate these things.
Yeah. But let's say we did need to get in.
You just can't get in. You can't get in. Nobody can get in except for Master Paulus. I can't believe he didn't tell you that.
He just said to get the mushrooms, and that's it.
Y'all are talking over each other, and it's making it really hard to hear.
Can I eat these, though? And I put the mushrooms.
I can't say I've ever tried.
Why don't you go ahead and knock yourself out right there? Why don't you try one of them? James, let's see how they taste.
I pick one up and I try to shove it in Dash's face. I try to pick one up from the ground around me. Like, I don't try to take one from his bag.
I'm going to resist pretty heavily, I think.
Okay. Make like a proper roll here.
I rolled like a 4. So whatever like modifier you plan on adding to it, it probably doesn't matter.
Dashner, you're able to swat the mushroom out of his hand in a way.
Cool. Listen,
I'm not sure. Okay, I'm gonna go home now, and just collect my paycheck tomorrow because I don't want to get wrapped up in whatever's going on here.
He leaves
the bag of mushrooms and walks home. And you do notice, Dashner, that it is near dusk at this point.
Have a blessed day.
Ah, blessings be upon you.
I smirked to Carrie, like I figured that out.
What?
I pick up one of the mushrooms.
What cycle moon is it? Like what moon cycle are we at?
It's a waning phase, which is like a just like a normal, like a half moon sort of thing. It's not especially large or small.
Cool.
That's what she said.
Heyo.
I pick up one of the mushrooms and I kind of burn it in the torch and let the smoke kind of drift into that little hole.
In doing so, there's a small glow that you can see, from inside the hole. And then you hear a click.
Hey, nice.
I try to open the door.
All right. As you push it, it does slide slowly, begin to slide open. I assume you haven't opened it fully, but you can open it.
Just enough for like me to kind of look in and slip around, you know, kind of see what I see, you know.
Raymond kind of starts walking towards you. Took you all long enough, didn't it? I mean, come on, present offering of purification. They got the impurities. You got to light them on fire. That's their whole thing.
Oh, this flame. Yeah, should have seen that one.
Like these nasty shrooms.
Yeah, thanks for making me try to eat one of those, James.
That's why they're the Church of the Mushroom Flame.
That's not even close to what they're called.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive.
All right. Raymond puts his arms around all of you. We're about to get into some serious stuff. Is everybody ready?
Aye, aye, Captain.
I give a low growl. I just
I think at this point, for as much goofing as James does and as much kind of like absenteeism that Carrie exhibits, they know at this point that it's like it's no more jokes.
Yeah.
It's time to get serious. And Raymond locks eyes with all of them and he says, for the pack.
For the pack.
For the pack.
They all look at Dashner.
For the pack.
And Raymond flings open the door in front of him. And when the door opens, you take a step inside, and it takes a second for your eyes to adjust when you enter the church because the room is super dark compared to the outside light. There's really no windows in this whole building. In front of you are rows of wooden benches all facing the front of the room, which opens up into a big wooden platform. And in the very front of the room is a roaring fireplace filled with a bright silver flame. Elsewhere in the room, over top of the benches are small hanging oil lanterns from the ceiling, casting the only other light in the room. There's little of it, but what there is cast from those lanterns. And then hung on the sides of the room are banners like the ones you saw outside with the two crossed knives engulfed in silver flame. And as you enter the room and your eyes start to adjust, you see the silhouette of a single man kneeling in front of that roaring fireplace. He's in a white cloak with the hood pulled down in front of him and a long blonde ponytail falling down out of the side. What do you do?
I think, so this is a question I guess I have. Would like Raymond, Carrie, and I kind of have our natural, like I go to the left, Carrie goes right. Raymond like stays in the middle to kind of like surround him sort of thing.
That's a good question. I think that, your battle plan would be to stick together, and to stay tight until the enemy draws near and then that you would make the move to surround.
Okay.
Part of me, Loki, wants to try to figure out a way to ask this man about the necklace thing or at least distract him because they did say the church was interested in it.
You could try and do something like that.
Yeah.
Everybody it has just taken a step inside and that's the moment that we're at now. And now it's like reaction time.
Hey, they said outside that the church was like interested in this necklace thing I just bought, right?
As soon as you make any sort of noise or motion, you see the man slowly stand up and start to chuckle. Y'all are making this way too easy on me, kids. I saw your arrival in the flames. He jumps up and faces you, and you see,
drugs.
Huh?
It sounds a lot like drugs.
He jumps up and faces you, and you see that he's actually really rather tall and slender. Pulls out two sharp daggers, holds them to his sides, and then you see him close his eyes, and immediately those daggers are engulfed in flames. He begins to walk slowly towards the center of the stage, looking you square in the eyes, and says, "All you damn mutts, your whole family sits up in your big mansions, victimizing innocent people with your game. You don't deserve that money, you impure dogs. You just sit and watch while all these fine folks on this side of town just barely struggle to get by." "It's been a while since I've presented some werewolves as an offering." And he runs towards you. Roll for initiative.
Real combat. Yo, I got a 19.
Good stuff.
I'll turn on a light in here because I can't see my character sheet anymore because it's dark.
Non-natural 20.
Nice. Dang it. Still beating me.
Because I'm pure blood, baby.
14.
Ooh. Well, Raymond's going first.
Son of a gun.
All right. Yeah, just for clarity's sake, you maybe had the opportunity to do something there, but it was going to be on like first movement that he jumped out.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I didn't ruin a plan. Cool.
Way to screw us, Dash.
You know, he seems pretty anxious for us.
So the four of you are standing kind of in a group there. Paulus is going to take just a few steps forward. And for the record, y'all are, if you like use your full movement, you could reach him in one turn here. It's like a small room.
Are there like pews or anything?
Yeah, basically imagine like a church room, right? So there's an aisle down the middle. There's aisles on either side, and there's like wooden pews breaking up the aisles. There's the lanterns on top of the pews, and then at the front of the room is like a big wooden kind of like platform with the fireplace behind it. Paulus is going to take just a step forward and cast Sacred Flame in the direction of Dashner, since he was the one who made the noise. So you've got to succeed on a dexterity saving throw, Dashner.
That rolled off the table. It's a 12.
And that has to beat the spell casting.
Some sort of, I think it's your like spell DC spell save throw or something.
Okay, spell would you save DC.
Cool. What'd you say you rolled?
12.
Okay. The attack is going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Dashner is going to take 1d8 radiant damage. That's a 7. Do I add anything to that?
If I'm weak to radiant, which I don't know if I would be or not, because I'm
just saying, like, if there's a modifier, like a spellcasting modifier. I think it just says 1d8.
Well, the idea of being weak to radiant damage.
I mean, that's like all undead for sure. So I didn't, and like things like that. So I didn't know if werewolves being like,
right,
or whatever would have some sort of weakness to it.
I don't think we have anything specific to that.
I don't either.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't look like there's plus anything to damage. So you're going to take 7 damage, Dashner.
Woof.
Bork.
Yeah.
All right, he shoots off that sacred flame and kind of sneers at you guys and readies his weapons. I forgot that I choose.
Yeah, I was going to say who goes first.
Next is going to be Raymond. Raymond is going to run towards this guy, fury in his eyes, and swing his great axe at him. Okay, that's going to be 12 versus 13. So he swings hard, and Paulus shifts to the side, missing the axe. That's Raymond's turn. Next up is James. What do you do?
James? So I want to move left and kind of... I'm going to move left and I want to duck under the pews.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of come at him. I want to try to get basically behind him.
Okay.
Is my goal.
I would say that in this turn, you can reach kind of like the front of the pews on like house left of the stage, but you're unable to reach him with like a melee attack in one turn since you had to go around.
Then I also have dash I can use because I have the cunning action.
Do you consent dash?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Another problem with the name. So basically I want to use my cunning action in order to get move like underneath him, underneath the pews, over the pews, however I need, or yeah, preferably under it, to get around him on the backside. And okay, then I want to attack him with my sword or my dagger more okay accurately.
All right. Yeah, go for it.
Be 12.
Ah, that misses. He
I had a feeling.
Yep. He sees you slash, and once again, with grace, he dips out of the way.
I think I get... Do I get an advantage because Raymond is within 5 feet?
Somebody who knows more about D&D.
I am a rogue.
And stealth, yeah, flanking.
Roll again. Cool. That was worse. Okay, well, okay. I missed.
Good stance. Hollis is dip, dive, duck diving, and dodging.
Dude's good.
Next is going to be Dashner.
I'm going to follow suit and I'm going to rush at him with my sword.
Dashner, what are you feeling right now?
I mean, a man just shot fire at me. So as you can imagine, in more ways than one, I'm a little upset with him because not only did he hurt me, it was also fire.
Roll a d20.
Oh, good. 15.
Okay. You feel the same sensation that you felt a few days ago when you involuntarily turned into a wolf start to raise up, but you recognized it and were able to stave it off.
All right.
Take your action.
All right. I'm going to rush at him with the sword.
Okay. Are you on the right side of him?
So whenever he came in, yeah, I'll go to the right. I'll rush right side of him.
Yeah, like I imagine, again, imagining like a Fire Emblem map, like you would be on the tile to the right of him, like run straight at him and then go to the tile to the right. Yeah.
13.
Does it go to the attacker?
Tie goes to the attacker. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Sweet. You hit him, roll damage.
This says 1d6 slash plus 1d4 bludgeoning. So.
On just a normal sword?
Depends on how you're using it. So you'd be using it for slashing.
It's either or, right?
Then that is 2 damage.
Okay.
And then I'll action surge and hit him again.
Okay.
Hopefully. I will not be hitting him again because that was a 6 total.
All right. Carrie's next.
I pull out my short bow and I fire at him.
Cool.
Don't hit me.
And that is a, let's see, 16.
All right, that'll hit.
And that is 4 points of damage.
All righty. Okay, it's back to Paulus now, who sneers and faces towards James, and he is going to cast Inflict Wounds.
Well, that's just cheating.
He makes a melee spell attack against a creature that he can reach, and on a hit, the target takes 3d10 necrotic damage.
Ugh.
That's a level 2 spell, fam.
That's a level
actually, it's a level 1 fam. Level 1 spell.
yesterday, there were a bunch of stuff like that where we're like, we're level four, and he's like, so I'm going to go ahead and do 5d10 now, or something like that.
It's like, yeah, it's a level one spell.
Yeah.
So he's got to do a melee spell attack. So is that just...
Yeah, just do like a melee attack, and if it hits, then the spell takes place. But okay. If it doesn't, then it misses.
Do I add...
It's a d20 plus intelligence, right?
He casts with wisdom. So would it be wisdom. Plus wisdom? Okay.
Yeah, so you just roll a d20, and it's against your with your wisdom modifier.
Okay. Whoops, that fell off. That's a crit, dude.
Are you kidding me?
I'm serious. So does that do double
we've
damage?
We've not crit before in combat, so we don't... Have we decided what critting does?
I mean, the standard rule for crit is that it does full damage, right? Like it does
double damage from what I know.
God, there's double damage.
I've heard it automatically does full. I've heard it does double. I've heard it just double the dice roll.
You're the normal DM, Adam, so you can pick.
I mean, I like the full damage. Like I like to think of like crit as like, I've done this exactly the right way that I need to attack this person, and they don't have the advantage of stepping aside or their armor is ineffective against it. So I've always felt that's kind of silly to like, this does more damage than it normally can do, you know?
What I just read on like some sort of Wizards of the Coast thing is it's usually double damage, which means rolling damage twice, just as if the attacker had actually hit the defender two times.
See, I don't
but
like that.
Any extra damage dice, such as from a rogue sneak attack, are not rolled multiple times, but are added to the total at the end of calculation. But this is your
full damage
campaign, so we can do... Because it did say usually, so that's not
even... Adam, you pick, since you're the DM.
I say we just do full damage. I think that makes the most sense to me.
All right.
Oof.
James, you see a look of intense hatred in the eyes of Paulus as he...
Oh, this says you get to roll an extra dice.
All right, so there is no official rule, apparently.
Well, let's
no,
do this full. Is this full is good. The D&D.wizards.com like player's basic rules. It says that when you score a critical hit, you get to roll an extra dice for the attacker's damage against the target. Roll all the attack's damage dice twice and then add them together. So, yeah, so the double is...
You roll twice, essentially.
Oh, yeah, so you just roll the damage twice.
So it's... Okay, yeah.
But it just says tell me what to do. You can roll the damage dice once and just double it. Okay. Well, hey, if that's official rules, let's go for it. Let's just do official rules, I guess.
So am I rolling 6d10 or am I rolling 4d10?
You're rolling... What's the normal attack on that?
3d10.
So you're rolling 3d10 and then you're going to double that number.
Okay.
Or you could roll 6 from what it sounded like.
I'm rolling 3d10 and
doubling
it.
Or you could do it that way, but it's just easier to double it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many d10 you have, Alex.
Yeah. James, you see hatred in the eyes of Paulus as he reaches out and grabs you and does 38 necrotic damage.
Oh my God. Jeez. No joke, if that hit me right now, I would actually be permadead instantly.
Yeah. That's a level one spell, dude. That is ridiculous.
You did get a crit. You did get a crit.
Yeah.
Where is my HP on this?
It's going to be zero, hope probably.
It's on your stats page. Okay, you start with 14 health.
Okay. And then I would have gotten a D6, right?
No, like your character has 14 health at max.
Oh, okay. 14. How much damage did I take?
38.
Yeah, okay. So
you're dead.
I'm dead. That killed me.
Like actually dead.
Like dead.
Yeah. That takes me beyond
negative half.
Beyond negative half, yeah.
I kind of actually like this narratively.
Oh my gosh.
So Dashner and the rest of the Fenrics see Paulus reach out and just grab by the chest James. As magic pulses out of his hands and in to James, and then they watch their brother, or in Dashner's case, this guy he just met, fall to the floor.
Really nice of him the whole time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Fall to the floor lifeless. And Raymond howls angrily. I won't speak for the rest of the characters.
Dash is just kind of in like a shocked, stunned, like, what? Like, what just happened? Kind of.
What's the reaction from Carrie?
Carrie is just galvanized.
That's a big word.
Just more intense than she was.
Yeah, really sorry about how long this has taken, guys. I really didn't anticipate this.
You're good.
This is the last encounter, for the record. Okay. Hey, have we figured out like what your character sheet is when you become a wolf? Like anything like that?
The standard for the bite is a melee attack plus your strength.
Does your strength change at all?
I don't think that's what we've been doing. Whenever I
We haven't been doing it. I don't think we. I don't think so.
Claws. You told me my claws were 1d4 plus one.
Yeah, I did. I told you your claws are 1d4 plus one.
Okay, and you said that the bite is 1d8.
1d6. Did I give you a number, Dash?
You did not give me a number for bite.
All right. Then 1d6, I think, is like the standard. At least it's like a hyena's bite, I think. That's what I have written down somewhere. Right. Oh, which that feels, you know, because you're not really, you guys aren't like hydras or anything. That's
okay. Okay. James hits the floor and Paula squeals with delight. And next up is Raymond. Who, again, howls louder and more angrily than you've ever heard a howl before, Dash. Raises his axe above him and swings it down on him. And it's going to hit. And does the following damage. Which one's a 12? The one with a 12 on it, probably. Ooh, and does 12 damage.
Nice.
And continues just screaming with anger and bloodlust. Next would be James, but he's dead.
That is true, he is.
Dude freaking died. Next up is Dashner.
All right. Do I have to make my save to keep in check?
I think so. You just watched someone die. So
yeah, I'm going to
say you're under heavy stress.
Do I have any, just as unrelated, any indication of what this necklace does yet? Or do I don't know.
I don't think so, right? Unless
can I help him from beyond?
No, but, I mean, Carrie knows what it does, right?
No.
Oh, she just knows that it's magical.
She just knows it's evocation.
Yeah, which is more than Dashner knows.
That's true.
Yeah, so she's a magic user. She would have been the right person to wear this necklace.
She would have been, probably, but...
Does he have to attune to it, though?
I've never played around. I've never played where people have. What does that mean?
Where it's like you have to spend an hour with it before you, and it, you like, you, then you'll automatically know what it does and whatnot. And then,
I would say that maybe once he has it in his possession for long enough, he would know what it does, but I don't think he would need that in order to use it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
first make a d20 roll.
Yeah, that's a good point. 16.
Okay. Yep. Same thing. You feel that rising up and you're able to quell it.
All right. I have no indication of what this fun necklace does, so I think I'm just going to hit him with a sword again.
Okay.
Gosh dang it, 7 plus 2, that's not going to do it.
Yep, he glances out of the way.
Will, however, use my bonus action, whatever it's called, second wind, to restore 1d10 plus my level, because after watching a man die, I do not want the same fate.
Okay.
I got a 4 plus my level 2, so I get 6 health back. I'm up to 19 again. Out of 20.
Okay.
And then I cannot use that until a long or short rest.
Next is Carrie.
Firing another shot.
Okay.
And that is a 15.
Yep, that hits.
That is... 5 points of damage.
Paulus takes this arrow to the shoulder and doubles over. At this point, the axe strike got him real good, and the bow hit him too, and he is bleeding from the face. He's not looking too hot. But it's his turn. He pulls his daggers back out, which he sheathed to kill James, and faces Raymond, who just hit him with the axe, and attempts to, he lights the daggers on fire and, slashes with both of them. That was a crit fail. And so as he swings the daggers towards him, Raymond, in his sheer rage, catches his arms and grabs and holds them tightly and tighter and tighter to the point where Paulus drops the daggers out of pain and then releases his arms from him. So his daggers are laying on the ground and now they've been extinguished. They're just knives on the ground. Next up is Raymond, who's going to take another swing. And this time he's going to miss.
Did you say the daggers were on the ground?
They are on the ground.
Cool.
Next up is Dashner.
I'm going to pick them up and stab him with his own daggers.
Would he get an opportunity attack on you if you like reach down to pick up the daggers?
Yeah, it's going to take an action to pick them up.
Dang it.
I don't think he'd get an opportunity attack.
Yeah, he would. Michael's right. He wouldn't get an opportunity attack, but you're not going to be able to pick him up and attack in the same turn without using a bonus action.
And then I already action surged.
Right.
I'll still pick him up for sure, so he at least can't have them.
Okay.
Pick
up two daggers.
You're not allowed to have these anymore.
Okay. But let me say, as you grab them, this isn't enough to be like painful or to cause damage, but like they like hurt to touch, almost like a burning feeling.
Mm. What are these?
He just looks at you and
that's my favorite. I love when people respond to me just by screaming.
Carries up.
Another bow attack.
Okay.
And that's going to be a non-natural 20.
All right, that'll hit.
And that is 7 points of damage.
Oof. Yeah, Paulus takes another arrow to the chest and is really looking real rough. It's his turn. And, oh, let me think. Paulus looks at Dashner, who just stole his daggers, and yells, "You filthy mutt!" And casts Hold Person. Make a wisdom saving throw, Dashner.
Fun. 14.
And that's against my spellcasting?
Spellcast DC, or like DC save or whatever.
Yeah, what happens on a tie?
Goes to the attacker.
Dang it, man.
Okay. Actually, let me clarify this. It says spell save DC 11 plus 3 to hit with spell attacks. Does this count as a spell attack? Would I add that plus 3 or just do the straight up 11?
I don't know.
What are you casting?
Hold Person. Hold Person. It doesn't do damage, but it's like a spell.
No.
Yeah, I don't
it would just be the 11.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Cool. You withstand it. Otherwise, you would have been paralyzed.
Oh.
For a minute.
Cool.
Oh, jeez.
That's like 6 rounds.
It's 10 okay. rounds.
10?
Now it's Raymond's turn once again, who, seeing that Paulus is on his last legs, stares him dead in the eyes and says, "You bastard!" And willingly transforms into a wolf and attempts to viciously bite Paulus. we said we just add strength to an attack roll for a bite.
Yeah, for your attack, yeah.
Okay. Oof. A crit fail on the part of, Raymond, who
breaks his teeth.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how this would work. He lunges towards Paulus, and Paulus, in a cool maneuver, kind of ducks down onto the ground, onto his back, and kicks Raymond up into the air in his dog form, back towards the fireplace. Let's say he gets scorched a little bit and takes 1d6 of damage. He's not ignited, but he's scorched, and he's farther away from the attacker now. Raymond took 5 damage.
Gotcha.
Okay, James is dead. It's to Dash.
I look at Paulus and just say, I think you need to be purified, and then stab him with his own daggers.
Okay, roll to attack.
19.
Okay, that's hits. The daggers are, let's see, 1d4 plus, this says plus 2, plus your dexterity.
That's a 4 then.
Okay, you plunge your dagger into Paulus's abdomen, and you see him trying to make words, but he can't. He falls to his knees and then to the ground, and the battle is over. But right when that happens, Raymond transforms back into his human form and runs up and tackles Paulus and pins him to the ground. And I imagine Carrie runs over in the direction too. Paulus is still clinging to life, but he's pretty incapacitated. And Raymond looks right at you, Dashner, and he says, God damn it if I don't want to do this myself, but it's time for you to prove yourself. Do it, Dashner. He looks at you, looks at the dagger in your hand, and looks down at the holding on to life Paulus laying on the ground underneath him. What do you do? What would Dashner do here, Nathan?
And this feels like, back to all the Fire Emblem analogies, this feels like I should have made a separate save file before this battle and I didn't know it. I'm going to have to save over something.
He sees you hesitate and he says, Dashner, I swear, I'll do it myself, and it won't take much for me to do it. This is your shot.
Hey, Paulus.
He's like hardly conscious.
Oh, well, I was going to say something cool. I just stab him.
You can say something cool. He's just not really going to.
He won't respond. It was whatever. I'll just stab him. I'll do it.
Yeah, describe it. Where do you stab him? Is really all I'm asking.
Probably in the stomach again. If he's pinned down, I mean, I'm imagining it's probably easiest to hit him in like the stomach or the chest.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? No, for comedic effect, I cut his balls off. No, I should say that I was the one who held the blade and did it. Now
you cut his balls off and stab him in the chest, and
there you go.
You watch the life drain from his eyes. Raymond gets up off of him, and is still fuming. And he says, it took every ounce of what I had to not do that myself. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And he picks up his brother's body.
Wait, can we do a post-death right here? Unless you're... Yeah. Okay.
What's that? Yeah.
So after James dies, there's nothing but darkness for several moments. He doesn't know how much time has passed when suddenly his eyes open He's standing up and he sees the center of the room where Paulus was standing. Raymond is over him. Dash is standing above him with his blades, preparing to kill him. James lets out a cry, says, "Ah, I wanted to be the one to do it." And behind him, he hears a hollow voice, a voice that if it was written down, would be represented in unquoted, small, capitalized letters. The voice says, "Unfortunately, your time is up." James turns around and he sees a hooded man. Or is it a man? And suddenly he realizes that what he's looking at is actually a skeleton. These bony fingers grasping to his scythe, a black cloak over him, and behind him a horse. James looks at him and says, Who are you? And the man looks down on him and he simply says, "I'm who you think I am. And I've done my job." There's silence in the air, and suddenly James looks down at his form and he realizes that he's standing on top of his lifeless body, and his spirit, this form that he can see, suddenly starts to fade away. And all that's left standing there is the man in the black hood made of bones.
What? Back in the room in real time. Yeah.
That seems important for later.
I think at this moment, Carrie finally breaks down, like fully processing what happened and getting out of the moment. And you, yeah.
Oh, that's only like James is the only one who sees all that, by the way. Yeah. Just want to be clear. Yeah.
I figure nobody else has like out of body death experience. Yep.
No one else sees that. Just to be clear.
Dashner, this is the first time you've seen any sort of emotion on Carrie's face all day. And all it is like a couple tears welling up and then being wiped away, a quivering lip, as Raymond walks over to James, and takes a knee in front of his lifeless body, which has no, you know, cuts, no lacerations, no bruises, but is just a lifeless body laying on the ground. And then Raymond punches the ground.
I was gonna say, what?
Yeah. A few times. You see his muscles tense up, and then he, after a few moments, releases the tension and picks his brother up, and holds him and starts walking out of the door. Carrie's there with him, and he turns towards Dashner and he says, "Oh man, what's he say? Pup, you did good today."
"Thanks."
"Come along."
"I follow."
They start walking out of the room, back towards in the direction where you came from. And as you're leaving, Raymond says, "There's no easy way to say this based on the circumstances, but our pack's short a member."
Thank you guys so much for listening to Dungeon Arcade. We hope you enjoy this side trail with Dash. A lot of things happen. We will come back next time. We're potentially doing another side trail right in a row, or we're going to get back to the main storyline. That's still to be determined, but hey, what's life without a mystery, right? I don't think we have anything else, right, guys? We feeling good?
Yeah. Now that you said that we're actually doing another side trail, that I should probably finish writing said
you
side
should
trail.
Finish your side trail.
I should figure out what I want to do with that more.
We'll flesh it out. We got time.
To be honest, Asher's a yes man. He'll be on board for anything.
Pretty much. It's not hard to get him.
No, it's not hard to get him on board. It's just I haven't written much for him to get on board with. But that's fine. I'll figure that out.
All right. Until next time, I have been your dead boy, James.
Rip. We stan an entitled king.
Pour one out for the boys. The boy himself, one boy.
Michael, give us your sign off.
I'm Michael, and I am still silent and stoic.
Nate.
I'm Nathan, and I didn't roll all twos this time.
And I'm Alex, and I'm your dungeon lord signing off.
My sweet lord. Oh, my lord.
Cool.
You can probably cut that last part out about with me singing my sweet lord.
It's staying in.
All right.
Last thing they're going to hear.